Yes, good evening. Hello, hello, hello. How are we all? It's great to see you. Hello, hello. Ashwood Church are in the house. Can we have some noise in the place? You're a rowdy bunch, aren't you? Well, it's absolutely fantastic to be with you tonight. Thank you for the honour and privilege of being here. Unbelievable. You've got some awesome worship team, haven't you? Come on, let's give it up, mate. Do you ever sometimes feel like you have a dream of what a church could be and you're always striving too much to what the church could grow into, you forget to appreciate what God is doing right now in the house? You know, you need to look at someone next to you and you need to say, there is gold in the room here tonight. So why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, you are gold, there's potential in you. Go on, everyone, make everyone feel welcome. It was absolutely fantastic to be with the youth. Can we have a big shout out for the youth team and all the young people in the house? I absolutely loved it. God is doing some great things in this house. Ashwood Church, you're brilliant. You're awesome. There was faith. There was expectancy in the house. I'm not coming here to dampen it. I'm coming to blow some flames on it. And God's going to be speaking tonight, and I'm up for it. I'd love you to get your notebooks out, get your phones out. No Facebooking, young people, all right? I want you 100% focus on the message tonight. But I'm loving what God is doing. As Matt said, I sit on a vision core team of a live church as a whole, and I'm also a location pastor. I love vision. I love dreaming about what the church can be and what it can grow into. And that really, really excites me. So I'm always looking for the potential, looking for the gold that's out there. And a few years ago, we had a situation in our church where I got a bit fed up with our young adults. And I was like, oh, our young adults, they're not like really going for it in the life of the church. You know, the kind of 18 to 30s group. And I was saying, no one's ever doing anything. And I got a bit of a monk on. And I put an advert out there and I said, right, is there any young adult pastors around? And two people in our location came up to me and said, Dan, I'm not very happy with you. I went, all right, what's happened? They said, why are you looking outside the church for young adult pastors? We want to do it. And I was like, whoa, what, looking inside our own location? And I want to tell you, that couple stepped up, led our young adults ministry. There was gold in them, and they grew our young adults ministry to over 75 people within 18 to 30s within a space of 2 years. So I tell you what, there's gold in the room here. You don't need to look outside. You need to invest and bless and encourage these amazing people that are in the room. Can we say an amen to that? Yes. I like a bit of atmosphere in the house, all right? You've probably noticed already I'm quite different to the way my wife preaches. She's very eloquent, isn't she? I'm a bit all over the place, but you're going to have some fun tonight. And my man, stand up, my man. Yeah. What's your name? Sam. What a good guy this is. Yeah. Hand of God's right on you, my man. You're going to do great things, mate. You go for it. I did an Ironman. This is me showing off a bit, okay? Just indulge me for a minute, all right? And when I did the Ironman, the outlaw Ironman, I couldn't really swim that well. And if you know the Ironman, it's like 112 miles on your bike, a 2.6 mile swim, and then a marathon. I couldn't swim front crawl, all right? But I could do breaststroke really well. I look like my mum. I don't put my head under the water when I do my breaststroke. But as I came out of the water, the commentator, Channel 4, were there. And I came out with a big beaming smile. You know, like I always smile. I love smiling. I came out and the commentator said, come over here, come over here. And he said, how are you getting on? He goes, I said, yes, I've just completed the swim bit of the Ironman and I've done breaststroke. And he looked at me and he said, whoa, that's not been done before. That's not been done before, anointing over you, my friend. You need to build on what's happening here, but there's a race that you've got to run for yourself, Sam. I'm believing leadership's all over you. I don't know what sphere, might be leading the church, but it might be in other places as well. But grow into all that God has got for you. He's anointed you for great things. I love it. You go for it, my man. So, have you got any fear factors? I don't like dogs. Or I didn't like dogs and I don't like heights. Is there anyone, can anyone say that? I tried to cure my fear of heights by going up the top of the Eiffel Tower. Didn't work. Yeah. I tried to clear my fear of heights by jumping out of pain and doing a plane and doing a skydive. That didn't help at all. They say embrace your fears. Sometimes I can find them really hard. But one of my fears is also tests. I don't like tests very well. I'm not necessarily academic, but I'm very intelligent. I like to say that about myself, okay? Basically, my grades weren't very good. But I'm an intelligent academic, just don't like doing tests. And I remember sitting down for when I passed my driving test. Can anyone remember that fear factor? Did anyone else get a bit scared? How nervous were you before you did your driving test? But I remember, as I sat down there, you have to do your theory test first, don't you? You know, they've introduced this, maybe some people go, no, they didn't. You just got straight on and did it, didn't you? Well, nowadays, everybody, you have to do your theory test. So you have to go through a test and write down lots of things and get all these questions right. So I did my theory test and passed that. Yeah, a little ripple of round of applause. Thank you, everybody. But you know, when you do your theory test, that doesn't actually enable you to drive. That gives you a theory that you can drive. It's only when you get into the car and you do the practical, that's when you really learn to drive. Tonight, people, I want to talk about you. I want to talk about this quite clearly. I want you to not be theory. I want you to be people who live in the practical. Write that down. That's my title tonight. I see a church at Ashwood who lives in the practical. As a church, do we live a life of theory? Do we live a life of social commentary on other people's lives? Or do we live a life that is full of practicalities, that we roll up our sleeves and we get on with the things that God has called us to do? I want to stir into action people in this room to live a life of practicality. I remember when I stepped out in 2011, God gave me a prophecy as an 18-year-old lad. He says, you're going to take on football stadiums for God. Has anyone else had any of them prophecies? And you're thinking, really? 18 years later, we hired out our local football stadium, Lincoln City Football Stadium, and put on a youth event called The Bank. Yes. When I stepped out for The Bank, we saw 3,500 young people come to the event in 2011 and 3,400 people come to the event in 2013. Well, when I was selling vision with people, there were a lot of people commenting on how we shouldn't have done this event. And I didn't have many people who were saying, yes, Dan, go for it. You see, I believe that sometimes as a church, we get worried about the theory, thinking that, you know, oh, what can we do, rather than actually get on and do it. I believe that God is saying to you, be people in the practical. I want to create a hot house of faith in your people, in your life, that you're going to surround yourself with people that can say, yes, you can do it. Jesus had his three, and it was a hot house of faith. They were inspiring him. They could say, you can go on and do it. They didn't need to say that to Jesus, but Jesus said that to them. I want to say to you as your friends, what kind of friend are you? Are you one that speaks to the potential? Are you one who encourages life? Are you a person who creates a hot house of faith who says, yes, you can do it in the practical? Are we getting around our young people and saying, you can go further than we've ever been before? I want us to be people here at Ashwood Church who live out the practical, learning from stories as we go. You see, I believe that your faith comes alive as you step out for him. I want to encourage you and stir up that faith and encourage you to say, keep stepping out for him. Don't stop doing it. But remember, what has not been done already, and go and do it for him. You see, that's often where the blessing is. I remember at one event this year, we had had a great time in the Big Top. Give me a little wave if you're at the one event. Oh, that's everyone, isn't it? And I remember I was shattered. It was 1 o'clock. And as part of my life, I run an inflatable business. Don't worry, I'm not doing any pitches tonight, Matthew, okay? But I've got many bouncy castles. And I'd had a few bouncy castles out that day. And I got to the point and I was like shattered at the one event, like you do. And it was 1 o'clock and I needed to pick up a bouncy castle. And I was thinking, oh, I'm just going to leave it there. And I felt God say, no, you need to pick up this bouncy castle. So it's 1 o'clock. So I drove out to Highcombe, where we live, and I pulled in my van. It was pitch black. And it was at a social club. And this social club was locked in there, apart from one person and the lady who opened up the social club. And I went to start rolling this bouncy castle. And this guy comes up to me and he goes, I've been waiting for your voice, Dan. And I'm like, whoa, what's happening there? I felt I was in good biblical times, like there was angels all around me. And this guy comes up to me and he says, I've been praying for a Christian to come and be here tonight. And I'm thinking, what's going on? It's 1 a.m. I'm in a Memorial Hall social club and this guy snuck on me and he's saying, I've been crying out for a Christian to come and I heard your voice and I know you pastor one of the churches in Lincoln. And I said to him, how can I help you, mate? And he goes, I want you to pray for me. So I prayed for him and he walked away from God and I prayed for him. And as I prayed for him, he experienced the Holy Spirit and he started coming along to our church. And he's part of our team that lead our shed project, touching men who have got mental health issues. You see, often the blessing is in the inconvenient places, but we've got to step out into them inconvenient places. You see, it's practical. I can talk about the stories of the theories of what I want God to do, but it's actually about stepping out in the practical. So tonight I want to inspire you with 3 simple facts on how can you live a life of practicality. How can you live a life of practicality? Are you with me? Can we have some amens in the house? Yes. Number one, I've told the youth already, they're going to get bored, but they'll remember the message. To live a life of practicality for God, I believe that people of God, we should have a desire for his kingdom. A passion, a desire to see a move of God. We've seen it, we've sang about it before, but have we got a desire and a passion to see God move in new ways, in fresh ways, in dynamics that we haven't yet seen before? I want to encourage us to be people who live out of a desire to see God move. You see, in 1903, you might have heard of this guy, a guy called Samuel Pierpoint Langley. Have you all heard of that name? No? Not a familiar name to you? I thought you were historians here, okay? Well, Samuel Pierpoint Langley, he tried to get the first plane in the air. In 1903, they said you needed 3 things for success. Well, in them days, you needed money. Samuel Pierpoint Langley had £50,000. In 1903, that's pretty good. You would like that for a building fund now, wouldn't you, Matt? Okay. 50K. They said to be a success, you had to be connected to the right people. Well, he had his best friend who was at Harvard University. He had very strong connections there. The third thing that they said to needed to make a success is that you needed to have great publicity. Well, his brother-in-law was the director of the New York Times. But you haven't heard of the word Samuel Pierpoint Langley because he was driven to put a plane in the air, but he didn't achieve his dream. The guys who achieved the dream that you're all going to know, as I say, is the Wright brothers. And the Wright brothers were driven by a passion and a desire to put flying machines in the air that will change the world. You see, Samuel Pierpoint Langley had everything in place, but he was driven by a desire to get his name famous. The Wright brothers were driven with a desire to change the world, to put flying machines in there. They had no education. Gives me hope, everybody. Yeah. There we are. No education, they had no money. They used the proceeds of their second-hand bike shop. They had no connections, but they were driven by a cause that was greater than themselves to change the world by putting an aeroplane in the air. People, how's your desire to see God move passionately in your life? How's your desire for God to move passionately in the people who don't know God in this area? You see, the Bible says in Matthew 28:29, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Therefore go is a desire. Therefore go, you've got to actually step out to do something for God. I want to stir you up and say, how's your passion for the kingdom? You see it, don't you, in a Battelle, when Battelle come over here. They've been saved, they've been set free, and they got a passion to see people's lives changed. I want to say to you, how's your passion? How's your passion for your family? How's my passion for my dad who doesn't yet know Jesus? How's my passion for our neighbours who are going to get to know Jesus because they live in between 2 Christian families? We're going to get them. I sound like evil doctor there. Guys, I want to say to live a life of practicality, you've got to ask God, how is your desire? How is your passion for him to move in your life? What are you getting up? What are you feasting yourself on? What's your drive? What's your desire? Is it to bring the kingdom of God in? What can you do about it? It's simple. Ask God to give you a desire. Ask God to give you a passion. Jesus had it. He was driven by compassion. Matthew 9, verse 36, the feeding of the 5,000. Jesus was moved with compassion for the people. They were like sheep without a shepherd. Matthew 20, 34, Jesus touched their eyes. And as he touched their eyes, they opened their eyes and they healed the people. Jesus was driven with compassion. How's your compassion for your community? How's your compassion and desire to open the eyes of your community? See, I believe that as people to live a life of practicality, we've got to ask God for a desire and a passion to see his kingdom come. You see, it's infectious. When we get a desire and passion, people want to follow you. If you're on fire, people will come and follow you. They travel from all over. I've seen it when we do our Nights of Fire in Higham. We get people from all over the place come because God is in the move. He's on the move. He's doing stuff. When you go for the bonfire night, you're drawn, aren't you, to that fire. What's your desire? What's your passion? Is it burning bright for others to come and watch? They want to see you burn. People, let's be people who burn. Can we have an amen in the house? Are you still with me? Number two, how to live a life of practicality. Number two, have a can-do attitude. Philippians 4, verse 13, my favorite verse. I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. Don't we want to be people of the church who have a can-do attitude? Who say, I'm going to sacrifice everything. We're going to make this happen for God because he is worthy. I remember a few years ago, we were going out to see Joe's dad lives in Australia. And it was a year when there was a massive snowstorm at Heathrow Airport. Can you remember that? And aeroplanes got stuck on the runway. Well, I've been looking forward to this trip for so long. And, I was really excited about going to Australia. And we got out onto the plane and the plane wouldn't go anywhere. They just weren't taking off anymore. So they sent us back and they said, your flight's cancelled. And I'm like, how can it be cancelled? They sent us home. So I went over to my mum's house, who lives in Horsham. We went one night there. We went back to the airport and they said, no, there's no more flights over there. The third day, so this was the third day, and I'm desperate to go out to Australia. You know, it was snowing here. It was very warm out in Australia. And I'm desperate to get there. And I got to the third day and I queued up, which is what our airline had advised us. And I got to the front of the queue and I said, what's happening with the flight to Australia? They said, well, it was 3 days ago. We're not putting any more flights. It's not very Christian, is it? But it is a can-do attitude. I stood there and said, I'm not moving until you put me on a plane. Joe was very embarrassed. But I stuck my foot in. And what had happened is several people had been sleeping at the airport for the last two nights. I got a little gang with me. And we all stood there at the front and we said, we're not moving until you put us on a plane. It was pretty awkward, to be perfectly honest. But what that airline did is they got us on a coach and they got a few of us who were still there and they drove us all the way up to Manchester. We flew out of Manchester and we got to Brisbane. Sometimes you need to dig your heels in and you say, I've got a can-do attitude for God. Some things might not have happened in the past how you wanted them to, but I believe that I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. To live a life of practicality, you've got to step out in the goodness of God. You've got to go and see the miracle. You've got to say, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. One of the things that we often say in our church, we say, don't moan about it. You are the church. People come and say, we're not seeing as many miracles as we would like to see. And I say, no, we're not. I said, when was the last time you prayed for a miracle? And they say, oh yeah, good question. What are we praying for? What miracles are we looking for? What are we wanting God to do? I want us to say that let's pray for the miracles. Let's have a can-do attitude. We have to have a can-do attitude at the moment. As a church, we're meeting in a school building. God's really blessing us. We're really growing. There's some great things that are happening. But we believe that God's called us to have a building. You've got one here. It's great, isn't it, everybody? I know you've got plans of more things here, haven't you? But we want a building. So we've launched a building project. And by the grace of God, we've raised £230,000. We need 1.5 million. I need a I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength attitude. We need to be people who dig in and we can do it. So we launched a brick project and we said to our church, we've got about 240 adults. So I bought 240 bricks and I put them in front of the whole church. And I said, right, what I want everybody to do is each brick here represents £1,000. Okay? I want every adult in this place to take a brick. First of all, they were saying amen, amen. And then I said, right, come out and pick up your brick. And okay, Dad. Do you ever get that? Like your appeal? You know, you're doing appeal and you're waiting for people to come forward. But what we found is that we said we wanted everyone to buy into this vision of taking a brick. So everyone took a brick, and I encouraged people who had no money in their bank account to take a brick in faith, to step out, to have an I can do all things through Christ attitude. We've seen miracle upon miracle. We haven't got the 1.5 million, but what I've seen is it's stretching people's faith because they've got an I can do all things attitude. We've got a lady in our location who hadn't had any work for quite some time, and she had got a job as a cleaner. And what she said to me, she said, I'm taking a brick in faith, and what I'm going to do is I'm not going to pay myself because I'm not used to having that much money. When I've saved up £1,000, I'm going to give it into our building project. She did that, and she gave £1,000 of a check. We had a 13-year-old boy saying, I believe that in this building project, I'm going to set up the brick cafe. You know when some of you young people get an idea and you go, yeah, brilliant, I think that'd be really good. I'm thinking, 50 quid, I'll be really happy with 50 quid. He took a brick. And he set up in October half term, 2 years ago, a brick cafe. Got a few people to bake some cakes and a cup of tea. He opened up his house. He raised £1,400 in an afternoon opening up a brick cafe. Because when you bring your bread and your fish to the multiplier of multipliers, he can do all things through Christ who gives him strength. We've got a guy in our location who's come through the CAP project, and he took a brick. And I know his financial situation. He's got no money. Stood up on stage, and he goes one day, just comes up randomly, just jumps out of the audience and goes, I'm going to cut my hair and shave off my beard for my brick. He does look like Lord of the Rings, guys. He's like, he had this massive kind of beard and hair. And he stood up on stage, and he collected money, £1,200. From friends outside the church who really believed in our project. See, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. People, we've got to be people who step out in faith. What I've noticed it does is it stretches people's faith. It increases. We embrace the journey that we're in. But I believe, guys, to live a life of practicalities, we've got to have a I can do all things attitude. Third and finally, are you with me, people? Can you say some amens? I believe to live in the practicality, we've got to take everyday opportunities. I believe too many times the church has a one-day mentality. We say one day we're going to see revival, but we don't recognize that we are the people of revival. We are the ones who God is entrusting us to walk out. Who said it? I've said it. One day when I get more money, I'll be able to give into the offering. One day when we've got enough money, we'll be able to build a building. We'll be able to buy a plot of land. One day my marriage is going to be great. One day I'm really going to read my Bible. People, I want to encourage this. Take your everyday opportunity to make a decision today and say, I'm going to make the most. I'm going to step out even when it's hard to do. You see, the Bible says in Romans 12, take your everyday ordinary life and place it before God. Too many times we worry about this one day. We dream about the thousands coming to know God, but we don't actually invite our neighbours along to church. We don't build a relationship. In our neighbourhood, I invited hundreds of people to come to church. And out of 100, 2 people came to church, which I felt was quite good. I thought, that's not how many I would have liked. So what's that, 2%, isn't it? So we held a dinner party at our house and we invited 10 people from our neighbourhood. All 10 people came round to our house. We've got to think in creative ways. We've got to think in different ways. We've got to take our everyday opportunities and present it before God. You see, it would take the pressure off the big if we seize every day. And we say, every day, God, I want my life to be a living sacrifice for you in your workplace. Living life, being God to people, representing it. You see, I believe that we are called to live a life in 3D. We are called to seize every opportunity. We are called to elevate people. You see, how do people describe church on a Sunday? I was talking to the youth. And too many times we can be on the back foot as people. You see, I believe that God has given us opportunities. And people say to us, who's had that question? What do you do at the weekend? What do we say when we get that? Or people ask me, what's your job? Now, I'm a full-time church pastor. So I can either say, I'm a church pastor, which will close down the conversation very quickly. Or I can say, oh, I'm called to lift people's heads. And they go, oh, really? I say, I'm called to inspire people and motivate people. My job is to see the best in people and to get them living for something that is bigger than themselves. They say, oh, brilliant. What's that? I'm called to work with the community and help people who are in drug and alcohol addiction. I'm like, mate, that's brilliant. Well done. What do you do? I'm a church pastor. It's a different conversation. Guys, I believe the way that we talk about God has got to be changed. It's got to be fresh. And we've got to have an open heart to what God is doing. Take your everyday opportunity. Ephesians 5 verse 16 talks about this. Make the most of every opportunity in these days. I believe the miracle, living in life in practicality, is about making the most of every opportunity. Imagine what it would look like if we all do this. Can someone come and tinker on the ivories? This is where I'm coming in to land this plane. I know your good friends are Dwayne. You like that one. There's a Dwayneism, isn't there? Imagine what this area would look like if we all did this. We took our everyday, ordinary lives and we placed it before God. Imagine the opportunities. Imagine the lives that are going to be impacted for God. I love the platforms that every one of you have got in this place. As you go out and you're scattered out to bring the good news of Jesus Christ in. Well, in this room represented alone, there's thousands of people who don't know Jesus. Right in this room that you've got the opportunity to embrace. To take your everyday, ordinary life. 100 of us looking for opportunities. You see, the extraordinary miracle happens in your everyday life. So what can we do about this, Ashwood? We need to recognize that we are the revival. We need to recognize that there's gold in this room. I was blown away with your youth. I always love youth. I just, they're passion, they're raw, aren't they? They look bored sometimes. But I'll tell you what, church, that's all right. That's all right. Because sometimes out of frustration, that's where God births something deep that is not like what we've always done. I sat at New Life with a phenomenal church. I sat in a balcony and I pointed down and said, them, they don't go out in the community. I was bored. Not because of God, because of the decisions that I had made. But out of that frustration, I asked God and I said, God, what do you want me to do? And he said, Dan, don't moan about the church. You are the church. Take your responsibility. Out of frustration, a project was birthed called Energize, which by the grace of God went into every secondary school in Lincoln. We saw thousands of people hear about the good news of Jesus Christ. Get behind these young people. Sometimes they might look bored, but there's frustration, a godly frustration of them wanting to do great things. Guys, you go for it. Make great decisions. Make great choices about your life. It's two ways. Go the world's way or go God's way. God's way is the most exciting way you ever go. I want to pray for these young people. I'm not a youth pastor, by the way, anymore. Can we stand? Anyone who's 11 to 18? 11 to 18 year olds? Matt, you're a bit older than that, but yeah, you're keen, aren't you? Wow, look at these world changes. Look at this gold. You've got the anointing of God in you. What's your name? Naomi, there's anointing of God's on yours. God make great choices. The gold is where God is, you know that. And it's fine to be a bit frustrated. But God's calling you to do something fresh, something new. That's where the gold is. Come on, let's stretch out our hands to all these young people. Father God, thank you for these amazing young people, these young adults. Thank you for the potential in them. Thank you that there's gold in them. I pray you put a smile on their face, and I pray that they will give you a birth in them. Write dreams, godly dreams now. It won't be what we've seen, but will be things of greater seen. That is faith that we haven't yet seen, that we haven't yet achieved, that is something bigger than us. God, I pray you birth social action projects in them. God, I pray that you birth a passion to see your kingdom come. I pray and I thank you that there's new wineskins written all over these people. We give them permission to dream big for the kingdom of God. We give permission to make great choices. We say make godly choices about your life. When your mates might be going one way, you choose to go the other way. Because obedience gets God's attention. I pray that you would grow a radical movement amongst these 11 to 18 who are obedient to your voice and to your calling. And all God's people said, amen. Why don't we all stand together? I'd love to lead us in a bit of prayer. I felt a bit clunky on the message tonight, but God's moving in this place. Your faith comes alive when you step out for Him. And I know you're not, so I'm speaking to myself. I don't want to be a part of a church. There's a church of theory. I want to be part of a church that is practical, that is giving our everyday, ordinary life to God and say, God, use it. Obedience, it's the little things. It's the little things. As God whispers in your ear, as you're obedient, it's the little things that create momentum and movement for His kingdom. God, I pray that you'll open our ears, you'll open our eyes to the whispers of heaven, the neighbors we need to connect with, the workmate we need to buy a coffee for, the person we need to pray for, the person we need to invite round for a meal in our house. I pray for the people who we look at who are them different from us. And I pray in the name of Jesus that we would see them as a child of God. A neighbor. We pray for Muslims in this community. Pray for people who don't think like we do. And we pray that we want to take our opportunity for the kingdom of God. Help us to make great choices in the name of Jesus. Drop now simple things in people's lives. Drop now in the name of Jesus, anointing. Whispers of heaven are going on in this place. You need to do one thing. Forget the revival. Forget the revival of 200, 500 people. The revival is in you, and it's one person at a time. It's one decision. It's one cup of tea. It's one £10 through a neighbor's door. Father God, I pray, help us to live a life of practicality for you. Anoint us, we pray, in the powerful name of Jesus. And I pray that we will see your plan for this place. Holy Spirit, as we worship tonight, come and fill this place. I pray you drop gold, you drop ideas, you drop bombs, you drop practical things in our lives that we need to do as a result of that. Help us to see things that are bigger than just ourselves. Help us to see your picture. Fill us with your Holy Spirit to make a difference, we pray. In the mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ.